Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody, on a Wednesday morning, June the 26th. We're in the bunker north of Dewdney. Another beautiful summer day here on the YQR. Thanks for joining us wherever you may be. Hello to Norway. We find out that Dustin Halvorsen is Norwegian. A Norwegian wrote in and said hi to Doug, repping the Norwegians.
Mike Lee as well.
Mike Lee is Norwegian?
Absolutely.
Who would have known that this show would be so popular in Norway? But thanks for tuning in. And I just want to say, we have one daily poll, and starting next Monday, it's going to be brought to you by the Capital Auto Mall. Our poll today is, will Kawhi Leonard re-sign with the Raptors this summer? 73% say yes, start the dynasty. 27% say no, they won't. And if I had a vote, I'm going to say no.
Really?
And we'll get into that.
Wow.
And then Clark has thrown up a mini poll, which was the one before the end of hour one when I said, would you rather be the 0-2 BC Lions with Mike Riley or the 0-2 Saskatchewan Rough Riders without Mike Riley? 78%. Say they'd rather be the Riders right now at 0-2 than the 0-2 BC Lions, 22%. So something to gnaw on there. Hockey Hall of Fame debate coming up with Don Hewitt here. Raptors, as I mentioned, but we'll start with the guys in the green hats, as you lovingly call them, Don. I love it.
Yeah.
You're a fan, right? You're not just a reporter. So
no, I'm a fan.
Right. Okay, a fan reporter. First.
Marginal reporter, but fan. Yes.
And blogger now.
That's right.
How are you feeling about this? Did you see an 0-2 start when you saw the schedule? Did you see that forthcoming?
That's a really good question when you think about sort of their history of going down east and whatnot. I don't think I'm shocked that they've started 0-2. I'm surprised that the defense perhaps hasn't done better. I mean, it's a different philosophy. They seem to be rushing 4 men and getting everybody else back. I think there's, at the moment, there's less confusion from the opposing quarterbacks as to what the Rough Riders are doing on defense than there was with Chris Jones with all his multiple fronts and formations and all the movement after the snap. So, you know, my take on it is Jason Shivers is a rookie defensive coordinator. He's still learning, as is the rookie head coaches across the league, including our own head coach. They're still learning. So Jason Shivers is a work in progress as a defensive coordinator, as well as would anybody be first year as a coordinator. So I think he's going to be dialing up some different things come Monday and trying to get maybe back to trying to confuse the quarterback maybe a little bit more and trying to get a little more heat on the quarterback. So Jason Shivers will evolve, as will Craig Dickinson.
I have to agree. I said it all off season that I thought the biggest departure from this team was, you know, not being able to get a marquee quarterback or, you know, losing a Willie Jefferson or these guys, but it was the departure of defensive coordinator Chris Jones that might be the thing that impacts this team the most. And again, that's not a slight on Jason Shivers, but it's a new job. And so far, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's been a little bit trial by fire for those guys. But as you mentioned, Don, you got to preach a little bit of patience here, you know, to the fans and say, you know, it is going to come. I keep wondering, you know, even no matter what the scheme is, you know, I haven't heard Micah Johnson's name called a whole lot. Haven't heard Charleston Hughes' name called a whole lot. I mean, these are guys that, despite the scheme, you know, are playmakers, and they haven't been able to make plays yet either. So, you know, you're waiting for it to come, though, certainly as a fan.
Well, Micah Johnson's getting doubled up a lot, and he is stopping the run. But, you know, it's not easy to get in on the quarterback when you're doubled up. It means that other players are getting more shots at getting to the quarterback if one's being doubled, and maybe they're not getting to the quarterback like they should. So, you know, I think Micah Johnson is going to turn out fine. But you know, that he will evolve, too, as he's getting used to his new teammates and new coaching.
I guess one silver lining for the Riders here is, it's going to take some time for everything to come together. Hobson sat in that chair yesterday and said, new regime, a lot of changes. It's not going to happen overnight.
No, he's right.
And you got BC losing their opening two games. I don't think many people saw that.
No.
Calgary coming. The Stampeders lost their opening game, which they're not panicking, by the way. And Don, I know you're very close to their broadcaster, Mark Steven. I've been reading a lot of coverage out of Calgary. They're angry. They are after redemption. And a mad Calgary team is not usually good for any other teams in the CFL. And they just happen to have BC in there on Saturday. So the Lions could fall to 0-3. So, Don, there's a silver lining that while the Riders are figuring things out, at least they're not falling behind in their own division.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a winning culture in Calgary. They just they've got it from Huffnagel to Dickinson and on down through their organization that we're here to win. And so for them to be that upset is not a surprise. I think the Rough Riders, on the other hand, let's be honest, they don't have quite the winning culture, you know, in their dressing room that Calgary has, but hopefully it builds up. The two brothers, I think both are equally competitive. They made
Craig and Dave.
Right. They may show it in different ways. I think Dave is more demonstrative than Craig, but I think Craig is very competitive as well. And hopefully in a different way, he can get that culture that Calgary has into our dressing room as well. But for now, I think they're not down on themselves because Coach Craig has been quite positive. So they're 0-2, but they don't seem to be really down on themselves, which I think is a plus.
Yeah, well, I don't know the difference between a coordinator and a head coach in terms of necessarily what their responsibilities are. I think it's more the head coach's job to set the tone than a coordinator. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly for the room. Yeah. So there's some figuring out to do for Craig Dickinson here that Dave figured out years ago. He was in this spot when he first became a head coach. But I'm enjoying the talk. I don't know if you saw in the huddle last night, but we went deep with Shepard, your good friend, and Marshall Hamilton on the heat on Craig Dickinson right now. And I just feel bad for Craig. I don't know whether you're able to shield yourself from that or not. If you're a head coach in this town, when you've got ties to this community, it's hard to shield yourself from that. Now, a former PR director of the Riders, Ryan Whippler, said the most successful coaches in his time, and he was with the club for a long time, were the guys that were able to ignore the outside heat. And they were Ken Austin and Ken Miller. And two of the, I don't want to name the coaches that weren't so successful, but they were the ones that got too wrapped up in what everybody was saying. Do the math on the other guys in that era. How do you shield yourself from it?
Well, I think that, I mean, Coach Craig has talked to his brother Dave on that exact topic, I'm sure, several times. He knows what it's like here. He knows the fishbowl that Saskatchewan is, and he knows that you're either an incredible hero or you're a bum.
And they want you fired.
You guys talked about this earlier in the show, and that's what it's like in a fishbowl. I think Craig is a very smart guy. I think he's going to understand it, and I think he's going to handle it very well, to be honest.
The luxury, if you want to call it that, of having been here a long time as a coordinator. Yeah. So it's not a shock. The fishbowl itself, him being in it is new, but he has certainly been able to watch the fishbowl from the outside. You know, I know from his first tenure here, he's a guy that used to watch I remember him. He would comment on stories that we would do, whether it be you know, on Global or Jonesy would do over at CTV. He was, because he liked to watch news, and then he would watch the sports. He wasn't watching it like who's the old offensive lineman?
Bob there? Wiley.
Bob Wiley, who was looking to see if he could make sure that none of his schemes were on TV. No, he was watching it as a viewer. But he's had the opportunity to see how that criticism comes, and not necessarily directed at him. So, yes, being in it is different, but he has at least had the ability to be around it and understand it.
What about this El Amemian thing?
Oh, boy.
I was going to go off topic. I'll say that about El Amemian in a moment. John Schmidt saying Craig Dickinson is nowhere near his brother as a coach.
John's referring to the Facebook feed here.
Right. Now, I mean, that, the success of his brother sort of goes against Craig in certain respects, because people are going to think, well, he should be as good as his brother. He should match his brother. That's tough on Craig. But it's way too soon, John, to say something like that at this point in time. We really don't know. It's going to take some time, and it may take into a second year. I mean, Dave Dickinson said after his first year as a head coach, I had a lot to learn. That's from Dave Dickinson after his first year as a head coach. So you're on a learning curve. No matter how long you've been around football, if you're a first-year head coach in the CFL, you're still on a learning curve, and Craig is, and he's learning every game. You guys talked about the headsets and missing the yellow flag.
I'm sure you're hearing that stuff too.
Well, I mean, I think he's got to take special teams and move them right to Terry Eisler completely and just concentrate on managing the game. That's what I think he has to do. He's coaching special teams as a head coach in the sidelines, and he's too distracted, I think, right now. He's got to move that to Eisler and get back to being a head coach. As far as El Amemian is concerned now, he's, what, supposed to be back at practice tomorrow?
No, I wouldn't. No, that's the rumor.
Okay,
you certainly have heard nothing official from the team.
Well, the question is this calf on the same leg as his Achilles 2 years ago? Because you think of Kevin Durant right away.
Boy, it's
and what happened with Kevin Durant, and now he's very upset with the Golden State Warriors, and the odds of him returning to Golden State are slim and none.
For playing him?
And Slim just left out. Right, for playing him. So it was on the same leg as the calf and then the Achilles. So I can't help but wonder about Solomon. He did play, have a good year after the Achilles. So, I mean, is there anything related like Kevin Durant thinks there was on that one leg? That's a big question. I mean, what are the Riders
tomorrow
saying?
Tomorrow is a big day for the Riders because it's their first day of practice. We have not seen them since Thursday's loss in Ottawa. Yeah. And everybody's going to be watching to see at that practice if Solomon El Amemian's on the field, which, even if he is he the answer to any problems that they may have? I'm not sure. And if he's not, how long does this thing continue? And when do the Riders start to say, hey, we got damaged goods here?
Well, that's right.
And start
that's
to look right. into what they signed, which they probably have already done.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He has not been on the field.
Not one time.
No.
Right. No.
Because
it was,
go ahead.
So it was sold as he was doing his CFL PA duties.
Right.
And then it morphed.
And then it was an
Well, I don't even think they knew then.
Yeah, maybe.
When he was doing his CFL PA duties. But, I mean, you take a look at Judge at middle linebacker. He's had, I believe, 8 tackles each game.
Right.
So he's doing pretty well in there. And
he's doing great. He's playing great.
Yeah, he's playing well. So I know that, who knows what Jeremy O'Day and Dickinson are thinking right now about this, but James Hamilton was just up here saying, you know, they got to get rid of him. Go.
Good comment here from Scotty Fitz on Facebook, one in support of Jeremy O'Day for sure. He says, I find it funny that everyone jumps on the Riders for not signing a marquee quarterback when they signed the best player in the league at 2 positions, William Powell and Micah Johnson. We will take a timeout. It is a Wednesday morning. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show coming to you from Regina in the Bunker on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Wednesday morning sports update. Yankees slugger Giancarlo Stanton is a game-time decision for today's matinee against the Blue Jays. He bruised his right knee last night while getting thrown out on a slide into third. The Yankees have homered in a record 28 straight games entering play this afternoon. Go figure, it happened against the Jays last night that they hit 28. Dallas Keuchel will make his second start since signing a one-year deal with Atlanta when the Braves face Chicago tonight. The former AL Cy Young Award winner lost in his Braves debut last week at Washington. Yu Darvish is on the mound for the opponents tonight. I think that's about all we have. Yeah, it is. That's your Wednesday morning sports update. Darren DuPont chiming in saying good morning from the tarmac. So he's flying out to an undisclosed location with one of our investors of the Rod Peterson Show. My brother said to me, the cowboy, he's probably watching right now or listening. He said, how do you make money from this show? I said, how about you don't worry about it? We've got investors.
How do you make money farming?
Yeah, exactly. You don't. How do you make $1 million farming? You start with $1 billion.
Oh.
You never heard that one?
Hey, that rain.
That was a billion-dollar rain we got last
and
week.
Definitely.
I had a conversation the other day. Sorry to go off topic, but I had a quick conversation the other day with somebody how important that is to the restaurants, to the car,
everything,
to the car dealer. Like that rain to the car dealerships. Those guys are happy that that rain came because now you got farmers getting trucks next year. And
like, agriculture is again our number one industry in Saskatchewan. For a period, it wasn't. It was nice to have a change, I guess. Oil and potash were right and other resources, but it's back to agriculture. And hello to all the farmers this morning.
I canceled 3 golf games last week, but I was happy to do it because we needed it.
Oh, yeah. City people just don't understand.
Well,
my wife last week, we were out there with ceremonies for my mom and honoring her and remembering her. My wife is city girl to the core,
right,
as you know.
Yes.
And for her to be around the farm people in Milestone, Saskatchewan, it's just an eye-opener to her. She's like, they're literally doing a happy dance in the middle of Mary's place.
Yeah.
They're dancing. They're so happy. Yes. And they want another inch. But if it goes past that, they'll be complaining
then
it's too
mad.
Much.
Yeah.
But that's what the city people don't understand. It just seems that they're always complaining. It seems that way, but they're not.
It's a fine line.
Hey, the poll question again for Capital Auto Mall. Right, you saw what it was. I said no. Will Kawhi Lap... Right. Kawhi Leonard re-sign with the Raptors this summer? 72% say yes, 28% say no. I put down a no. You said yes, did you not?
I from what I'm hearing, and I listen to a lot of American talk radio.
Doesn't look good.
No, it looks like it's at least a coin flip. Like it's gotten to the point he's going to take meetings with other teams, including the Clippers. But there's a strong feeling with some people. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, I believe. That they're starting to feel like he may sign, maybe not a super long-term deal, maybe like a one-and-one, but there's a feeling that he may be really strongly considering Toronto.
Don Hewitt, what are you voting in that poll?
I was leaning to no when they won the championship, and a few days afterward, I was leaning to no, and I've sort of started to lean to yes. So I mean, the Raptors don't even know. I mean, they don't even know. They're just saying, if he's gone, you know, the press conference yesterday, well, we'll still respect him and like him and everything else. So nobody can say that they know, but it's interesting that, as you were saying, that the ESPN writing a column saying he'd be not very smart to leave Toronto.
Well, they could pay him the most money. The NBA salary structure is different, but they could pay him the most money because he has been there. If you leave a free agency, you can't get the supermax deal. As they
it would
call
be a
so.
Worse deal for him to leave.
And dollars and cents, when it comes down to it, if you went to California, they're taxed very high there as well. So the Canadian tax, like unless he's going to the Miami Heat or the Dallas Mavericks or somebody like that, that's the only time that comes into effect. So all things equal, I mean, Toronto can offer him the best deal. And the way they treated him this year, I mean,
he's a rock star.
You got to think it counts for something, allowing him the load management, all those things.
We will pick up on the Raptors talk in a moment, but we are going to Phoenix, Arizona on video chat. Former Riders defensive tackle number 51, Marcus Chunky Adams, joins us this morning from the Sunshine Valley. How you doing, Chunky?
I'm doing good, Rod. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, good to see you. You're looking young, as always. Don Hewitt and Derek Myers with us. Chunky, I got so many football questions to get to with you, but I think the one I want to know the most is, how you doing this morning in Phoenix?
I'm doing great. We had a workout this morning at 5 a.m., so I'm feeling pretty good now. I was very tired at first, but now I'm good.
So you said we had workouts. What are you doing down there? I know you're coaching football. Tell your fans what's happening.
Yeah, I'm coaching football right now at Horizon High School in Scottsdale, Arizona. So I'm coaching D-line there. So hoping for big things this year. So that's what I'm doing here.
Well, I saw you on the sidelines with the Bombers in that preseason game here. And then when I said I got a lot of questions for you, that's where it's coming from. Tell me about the Bombers. Mm-hmm. From start to finish, how you got involved there, and then what you see in that football club that's 1-0 and plays in Canada's Game of the Week. They got Edmonton there Thursday.
Actually, me and Richie Hall, we had lunch one day, and I asked him to be a guest coach, and he said, yeah, sure. I talked to O'Shea about it, and then he talked to O'Shea. Then I think they said no at first, and then I guess the guy that they were going to bring in was coming in a week late. So Richard gave me a call back and said, hey, O'Shea wants you out here. So I went out there and I had a blast. I think that team is very, very close-knit. They are – it's something special there, I think, just from the way I've been seeing stuff happening there while I was there. They had a great core group of guys. They worked hard. They're really good people, and I think there's something special there.
Donnie, you can throw your headphones on, and you can hear them just fine. And, Derek, you jump in at any time. You played in that Richie Hall defense for so long, Marcus, and you had success. Can you explain what you like about it? And is he running the same thing in Winnipeg that he did here that you played in?
He runs some things the same, but it's just the wording's different. So, you know, he did little tweaks here and there for it, but it's pretty much almost the same defense. But for me, I had great players around me, right? I had Scott Schultz, you know, Nate Davis to follow up behind him. So, you know, I learned from those guys, and they made me to where I am today. I think they made me to better players, and I had one of the best coaches ever, right, Coach Este. So I couldn't beat that.
Chunky, what's been the biggest transition from you from going from on the field to on the sidelines?
The biggest trend, I really have to work on my temper. I get really mad very, very easily when something don't go our way or the way I've been teaching it all week in practice, and game time comes and they totally forget what I taught them all week in practice. So that's probably my biggest challenge and the biggest change for me is my temper.
I can't remember which coach we had on here. Oh, it was Wes Cates, because he was guest coach at the Ryder camp. Right. And yeah. he said now he has such a great appreciation for coaches that he never had. Like, yeah. did you feel like going back and apologizing to some of your former coaches? Now you see it from their point of view?
I did that in 2012 when I coached with Gary Echeverry in Ottawa at the University of Ottawa. And I went back and I called all my college coaches and my high school coaches. And I said, I'm sorry for what I put you through. It is so hard. It's so challenging. But, I mean, just to see the kids having fun and to see them working hard, trying to get it, is very gratifying to myself. So my coaches all said, you know, it was well worth it. So I follow that. It's well worth it. So I love it.
And of course, this is a football province, but high school football here is not the same as high school football in Horizon, Arizona, or Horizon High School in Scottsdale. Talk to our folks about the commitment and what high school football is all about, just where you're at in Phoenix, Arizona.
It's year-round. I mean, they get maybe, I think starting tomorrow, we have 10 days off. And then our coach, they, from that 10th day to the end of November, you don't have a life. It's all about football and schoolwork. So kiss your girlfriend goodbye and kiss your wife goodbye, because it's all about football. So they started in January and they go to November. So it's like a full-time job. And up there in Saskatchewan, it's like, it's totally different, right? So I think that's why you see sort of a difference in the football play from down here compared to up there, because they take it more seriously down here.
No doubt. It's actually, in my opinion, similar to hockey up here, because it's year-round for the players at that age. Here in Canada. Two last questions for you, Chunky. One, okay. What are your goals in this business? Where would you like to be ideally, and doing what?
You know what? Anything in football. I mean, scouting. I want to be a GM one day, I hope. Head coach. I want to be in football full time, getting paid for it, and helping other players or other men achieve their dreams. As you know, as the Ron Estes and Richie Hall and the Roy Shivers helped me, so that's what I want to do. I want to help out as much as I can, but just being in football is my life. That's my heart. So besides my kids, football is right there.
I was going to ask you, Chunky, do you miss Saskatchewan winters?
No. hell no.
That's great. So there was an extra question. What's your favorite Saskatchewan Rough Riders memory?
Oh boy. I would probably say every time I sacked Anthony Trevillo, which was six times. And Every time I sacked him, it was great, because I knew he was a Hall of Fame quarterback, and now he had the most passing yards in football history. So that right there is my biggest memory.
Well, Chunky, you're definitely a Rider great. We are following very closely what you're doing. Good luck with Horizon High School, and let's do this again. Good luck with everything. I appreciate it, man, and the kind of guy that you are.
All right, Rod. Thanks a lot, buddy. Take care.
You bet. Marcus Chunky Adams joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. And despite the fact that it's 47 degrees there today, I'd love to be there today. And here's the thing with this show, the Rod Peterson Show. Don might have asked this. No, it was Vanstone when he sat in one of those chairs last week. He's like, what are you going to do for holidays? I don't know. This wristband right here says one day at a time. We're doing this show one day at a time. And if that means that I don't get any vacation time come December, January, February, where I usually like to go to Florida, Arizona, then so be it. That'll mean that the show's going great. But the guys downstairs here, which, by the way, it's a very closely guarded secret. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not. They don't want anybody to know where this studio is. I don't know why that is.
Well, because the fanfare outside, there'd be people throwing rose petals. Every morning, you'd have a tough time getting into the location.
I think you're close.
Like Warner Brothers Studios.
But it's the opposite of that, because the other day they had security in here. We were talking about this on the guy's running around with a bunch of cable over his shoulder and a ladder under his arm. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, we're beefing up security around here. I'm like, why? You wouldn't be doing that if you didn't need it. You wouldn't think.
Well, it's sort of so, like all the security they have around, say,
Trump.
Rockefeller Center for the Today Show.
Exactly.
It's part and parcel for the success of the show.
Very same thing. Exactly. So I don't know. That scared the hell out of me. So the one thing the guy said is we don't want any crazies outside. So when you say they're going to show up and throw rose petals.
No, we let them inside and put them on the show.
Yeah, they might show up and throw grenades or something. I don't know. But anyways, it's a closely guarded secret. And what my point was on that, I'm not sure. Oh, here's my point. The guys downstairs who are watching every day, there's a whole team down there. Have you guys stopped in downstairs to see what's going on down
First
there?
First day, I
went
there.
This is a big show. It honestly is. And they've got technology. The guys ran up here and showed it to me on their phone with some sort of app that you can, wherever you are, do a selfie, and it has you on this set. With this background,
what?
So viewers can take snapshots of themselves on the set, video the whole thing. So it's like you could be in Phoenix, Arizona, sitting at a table at your desk, and it would look like you're in Regina.
Well,
and I'm like, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, that's how you go on holidays.
That's
that
how I go on holidays.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the very long-winded story as to how I could end up getting to Arizona
or
in the winter.
Going to Houston.
Or going to Houston on the trip. We want to throw that in there?
I don't know.
I'm why
shameless.
Not?
I'm shameless. I'll plug anything.
Well, by the way, Uniglobe Travel was so excited. Six people yesterday signing up for our trip to Houston. Six more just yesterday for our trip down there. And Donnie, I think you got to come on one of these trips because it's December 5th to the 10th, Houston, Texas. George Cortez listens every day in Houston. George is going to come on the show, former Riders offensive coordinator, working on Narco, Danny Barrett, and Brian Peters. We've got not just the Houston, Texas, and Denver Broncos, but Texas high school playoff regionals. I guess it's the last run before the state championship at NRG Stadium.
Wow.
Where the Texans play.
That'd
40,000
really cool.
people part of this trip will be. And also a college football playoff game.
That's
not a bowl game, but a college football playoff. So if you are a hardcore football fan, which they tell me you people in Saskatchewan are, you're going to want to come on this trip to Houston, Texas with us. And we'll have two live shows. And all you got to do is go to rodpeterson.com/trip, enter your information, and they will send you out all you need to know. You don't have to buy from doing that, but you'll get all the info that you want. I like some of these comments that have come in. Steven Safanuk on Facebook says, this show makes for great highway sound. Keep up the great work, Rod. And that's right. People forget about the video or the audio component of this show. So many people are just listening every day. RodPeterson.com/listen live. It's in stereo, crystal clear sound.
And just Bluetooth your phone to your car. And I just listen through my speakers. Like, I don't listen off the phone. I actually listen through the speakers.
And it probably sounds great.
It's fantastic. It sounds way better than AM radio, that's for sure. Let's put it that way.
Well, the funniest thing out of all this, and I will take a break here, but you were asking me before the start of the show about the technological aspect of this. And I said, some people who I would think are techno neophytes would have no idea how to get it, watch it every day, like John Lynch. Lynch watches every day, and he's not even on Facebook. I don't know. How are you getting it, Lynch? I don't know. I turn on my computer, and you're there.
He's actually,
that's what he says.
He's a technical genius.
But no, he's not.
He just won't admit it.
No, he's not. And then there's guys that you would think would know, that would, pretty savvy about these things, know their way around a phone or a computer, had no clue. You got to do what? You got to search the Rod Peterson Show in that search window on Facebook, click on the page, go down and watch. Blows their mind.
Just subscribe. So, just subscribe.
Like the page. But they don't know how to do that either.
If you like the page, it pops up right away.
The main thing is, because I called Lynch on Monday, and I said, Lynch, what are they saying at your morning coffee group about the show? They all love it. They all love it. They want to watch it every day. But they want it on TV, Rod. They want it on TV.
You can. You airplay it.
Well, we're going to get it on TV.
Okay.
But that's Paul and DuPont's talks, not mine. I just show up and rant every day. By the way, just before we break, check our Twitter page right now for two contests for free tickets to Saskatchewan Jazz Fest or the Regina Riot WWCFL Championship game. We're giving away tickets to both from the Rod Peterson Show today. And please do us a favor. This is how the show is going to grow. Just go down to the bottom corner of the page and click share so that all your friends will see that you're watching this program. And that's how the Rod Peterson Show will grow on Facebook Live. We'll be back with more with Dangerous Don Hewitt and the Duke Derek Myers in a moment. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Talk on demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now back to the studio with Rod.
Show continues Wednesday morning sports update time. The Toronto Blue Jays and New York Yankees finish off a three-game series today at Yankee Stadium. The Jays will be trying to avoid a sweep at the hands of the American League East Division leaders. The hard-hitting Yankees will try to build on their record 28 consecutive games with a home run. The Montreal Canadiens have re-signed defenseman Mike Riley to a two-year contract with an average annual value of $1.5 million. He had 3 goals and 8 assists in 57 games with the Habs last season. The Arizona Coyotes have signed coach Phil Housley to a multi-year contract.
He's assistant.
Assistant coach, yes.
Yeah. That's why you had that puzzled look.
Yeah, like,
eyes.
What did I miss here? Yeah. He will serve as an assistant coach on Rick Tocchet's staff. A former star NHL defenseman, Housley, spent the last two seasons as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. And the Montreal Impact hosts the Portland Timbers in Major League Soccer action tonight. The Impact coming off a 2-1 win over Seattle before the Gold Cup break that improved their record to 8-7-3. Also tonight, Toronto FC hosts Atlanta and the Vancouver Whitecaps visit Dallas. Derek Myers, are you going to drag me kicking and screaming into the new millennium of soccer coverage?
I am so proud of you for giving some soccer updates.
Proud of myself.
On the ticker there. Quick note. The Canadian team lost the other day to Sweden, and everybody's putting much of the blame on whoever, that Christine Sinclair didn't take a penalty in the second half. Janine Becky took it and didn't score. She took an outstanding penalty. The goalie just made a better save. And that goaltender had stopped Christine Sinclair just a couple of months ago in a major tournament, the Algrave Cup. Sinclair asked Becky if she wanted to take it. The Canadian women's team did fall short. There's no sugarcoating it. They should have made at least the quarters. But when you score four goals in four games, that's including your prelim games, that's not good enough. What the problem is, hey, man, I'm not the director of soccer in Canada.
The expert.
I would say that there is. It was a tough time for them when the men's team, who has perennially been no good, wins a game 7-0 over Cuba, and then the women lose out like the very next day or 2 days later. And the common denominator between those two is John Herdman, who has
he's the boss, right?
He brought the women to a very successful program when they were down in the dumps. Now he's the boss of the men's team. And the men's team is putting in 7 goals, and the women's team is losing out. And there's some of us going, like this guy literally may walk on water when it comes to soccer.
Well, I don't mind the soccer talk. I know that it has a lot of fans. I'm willing. That's one thing people tell me that they're loving about this show is its wide variety of topics. It's not just Riders all the time. So I don't. That's why I put it in the sports ticker. Wayne writes in. He says, "Hey Rod, I watch the show on my big screen TV every day." Matt Ramsey says he's watching in Copenhagen.
That's nice.
That's Denmark, by the way.
That's so nice.
My home country. He says, "I get home tomorrow fully expecting to be listening in every morning from work." So thank you, Matt. From Wayne, "You're so right about traveling and having this option to listen live while I travel the interior of BC daily. I used to have to catch the other show a day later. Love the new show." And from Steve DeJong, "I absolutely love the Rod Peterson Show. Being able to interact with truly knowledgeable sport personalities is a privilege. I was hooked from episode one." I will try, Steve, one day to get on knowledgeable sport personalities. But for today, it's me, Don Hewitt, and Derek Myers.
Struck out at least at this end.
No.
We're the guys that the security was supposed to keep outside.
That's right. Why do we have to have security here? That is unnerving to me. But anyways, to sports, then I'll circle back again on JC Garden. But
yes,
we opened this show in the warm-up talking about the Hockey Hall of Fame debate. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have seen it, Don, because you'd have been driving here. If you're upset with the Hockey Hall of Fame committee, which everybody seems to be after yesterday, everybody loved Haley getting in, Haley Wickenheiser, of course, right. But they didn't like Theo getting snubbed. A lot didn't like Paul Henderson getting snubbed. Derek didn't have a problem with that. But when I Googled the committee, I was a little surprised. I thought it would be a bunch of stuffed suits that never played the game. Isn't that normally how it goes? It's not. It's Lanny McDonald. Do you know Don? Is on the committee? And it's a big committee, by the way.
Don't forget, it's not an NHL Hall of Fame.
It's a Hockey Hall of Fame.
Worldwide Hockey Hall of Fame.
I think you're formulating a rant here, and I hope you are. I know I'm going to like it. I always love Don's rants. But anyways, Lanny McDonald, John Davidson, David Branch, Brian Burke, Colin Campbell, Cassie Campbell, Bob Clark, Bob McKenzie, Yari Curry, Mike Gartner, Pierre McGuire, Luke Robitaille, like they're hockey people. So they know. They know. And do they have something personal against Paul Henderson? I've met him. He's a nice man. Do they have something personal against Theo Fleury? I mean, if you've got a Stanley Cup and an Olympic gold and you're a point-a-game guy over 1,100 games in the National Hockey League, what else do you need to do? For Theo.
Well, I mean, for Theo, he's lucky that the Prime Minister isn't on the committee.
I think he might be. I think he might
but
be.
His Twitter feed. I will go on a rant about Paul Henderson. So, Derek, you don't think he should be in?
He doesn't.
It's not that I don't think he should be in. I don't think he should be in on the merit of the 72 Summit Series goal or goals.
Well, that's where I disagree. Because Paul Henderson, it's an absolute debacle, in my opinion, that he's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame because that one particular moment, and I know you can argue the other way, but was the biggest moment in the history of hockey in our country. And not only did he score the winning goal in the deciding game against the Russians, he and the Soviet Union as it was then, he scored the winning goal the last three games. And to me, it was a historic moment in Canada that went well beyond sports, and I just think it's terrible that he's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I just think it's awful.
My argument would be that is in Canada. Like, who's the guy that scored the game winner, the miracle on ice in Lake Placid? Is he in the Hockey
Hall
of Fame?
Steve Arruzzioni?
Whoever it may be, I certainly don't know. Is he in the Hall of Fame? Because that is
Mike Arruzioni.
Yeah, Mike.
That's Mike Arruzioni. Steve's his brother. He played baseball.
That is the single biggest moment in American hockey history. So on that merit, and a bunch of college kids beating still then the Soviets, 1980. I mean, we're really getting into the height of the Cold War. Why shouldn't he be on that merit as
I'd
well?
I'd say impact was very different. The impact in Canada was every single school teacher stopped teaching her class. Fair. And every kid in elementary school and high school was around whatever TV the teacher could find to watch that game. Every senior citizen in a nursing home somehow was around a TV. People just stopped working. And I sat there in Moscow and watched it live, by the way.
In Moscow?
That's right.
What?
Whoa!
I was there.
This is a more important story than Paul Henderson.
He was getting it. What?
This isn't about me, but I'm just saying.
It's become about you real fast.
I want to hear this.
So I actually wasn't in Canada when it happened. But from what I understand what happened here, the entire country stood still. And this man is not in the Hockey Hall of Fame? Hello?
No, but why were you there? School trip?
While I was there, the old Regina Boys Hockey League was rolling when I played hockey. My dad was the president of the league, and Hockey Canada offered him tickets.
That was Foster Hewitt, right?
Huh?
Your dad, Foster Hewitt.
No, that wasn't me. Oh, I ran into Foster, by the way, in Moscow and sat beside him in a bus. My whole life I was asked, are you related to Foster Hewitt? No. I see him. I'm in grade 12. That's how old I am. And I see Foster Hewitt, empty seat. He's going to the game to do the broadcast in the bus. I go over and I tell him my life story. My entire life, I've been asked if I'm related to you. And he looked at me and says, I'm preparing for a broadcast.
I could see it.
And
I could see it.
Just tossed me aside. Wanted nothing to do with me.
I'm sorry to bring that up.
To say he was rude.
But you're over
an understatement.
I had a similar story with Dick Irvin. Same thing. But continue. I'm enjoying.
Well, no, I am over it. No. Dick Irvin, tell me your
Dick
story.
Irvin. Dick Irvin told me I should get out of broadcasting. Which maybe he's right. The Pat staff still laugh about this to this day. How much time we got?
Plenty.
My dad.
It's the internet. You got all day.
As you know, was for 26 years a scout with the Dallas Stars.
Yep.
And a guy in Minnesota North Stars. And another scout was from Montreal, but he scouted for the Stars. His name was Lauren Mundy. His neighbor was Dick Irvin. Dick Irvin and Lauren Mundy were neighbors. And they golfed together at the Royal Montreal Golf Club once or twice a week. And so anyways, I got to know this Lauren Mundy through my dad. And he was, for many years, a cop in Montreal.
All right.
And he says, listen. He spoke with this, the accent that all the Montrealers do, even though he's English. And he says, you give me a tape. I understand you're abroad. Give me a tape and I'll give it to my neighbor, Dick Irvin, and he can critique it for you. And I said, oh, wow. Dick Irvin's going to critique a legend. I read his book. Now back to you, Dick. He's from Regina. He's going to love me. I get the tape. I ship it to Montreal. Lauren Mundy gives it to Dick Irvin. You see where this is going, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Several months later, I want to say this is about 98. Several months later, Dick Irvin's in Regina speaking at an event at the Hotel Saskatchewan. And he sent me a letter back when you used to do that. And Dick said, meet me at this event. I'll be there and I'll critique your tape. I can't wait. He's going to say the greatest things. It's Dick Irvin. He's from Regina. And he sat me down. And he goes, I think you should get out of broadcasting. You don't have a future in this. I'm serious. And then he says, you're up here all the time. You're yelling all the time. You're too excited all the time. So, I was completely demoralized after this meeting.
He's a legend.
And I go back to the rink, and I tell Chad Mercier, and I want to say Rich Preston. My brother was working with the Pats at the time. This is like the early 2000s, I guess, is when it was. So, for years, those guys would always say to me, you're too high. You're way up here too much. So Dick Irvin, of course, I began, what the hell does he know? I was so upset. But
well, I have a Dick Irvin story too.
Sure.
So, of course, as a Montreal Canadiens fan, I grew up as a kid with Danny Gallivan and Dick Irvin. I hope we have enough time for this story.
Absolutely.
I'll try to be clear. So Dick Irvin was very good friends with former CKCK TV weatherman Johnny Sanderson.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to produce the Johnny Sanderson show. And Johnny said one day, Don, I know you're a big Montreal Canadiens fan. How would you like to go for lunch with Dick Irvin? Well, I was thrilled. And so I wanted as many pointers and tips as I could get from Dick. And so I said, Dick, what can you tell me? What do I have to do here? And he said, Don, don't forget the number one rule of broadcasting. And I was just, what is it?
Don't swear.
That's the number two rule. The number one rule, he said, if in doubt, keep talking.
For sure.
That was Dick Irvin's number one rule of broadcasting.
Well, Lynch would say the same thing. John Lynch says the same. When I started doing the last talk show that I did, I was petrified, scared at the start.
Yeah.
And John Lynch used to, I will still say, open line sports talk, I feel, is the most difficult thing to do in this business. I've done everything. Derek, you have two. Mm-hmm. Would you say it's the most difficult? You find it a lot less difficult than I do.
But to do it for 10 minutes is one thing. To do it day after day after day for two or three hours? Yeah.
It is very hard.
It can be daunting.
So John Lynch, who's probably watching right now, he's like family to me. He's like my surrogate father. I called him way back there. It was like 10 years ago. I said, Lynch, what do? I don't know how to do this. And Lynch is like, you just talk.
Yeah.
What do you mean you just
talk?
That's
about it.
You just, when the mic goes on, you just talk.
Yeah.
What if people aren't calling? What if they're not receiving? You just keep talking until they do. And of course, Lynch would do that. He was right. That's the Dick Irvin rule. So obviously, Irvin and Lynch went to the same school of broadcasting. I think it's called Hard Knocks.
Probably the same time. Yeah.
At the same time. Yeah. Oh, exactly.
So just to wrap up, did you watch the game when you were in Moscow? Was it on TV or could you listen to it?
I was in the arena.
Oh, so you were there.
That is unbelievable.
All four. Yeah,
and you should write a book.
And he was at the goal. I was actually in the end zone, about 15 rows up in the last deciding game, and Henderson scored on the other end of the. So I didn't see the goal right in the net right in front of me. He was on the other end, but I think when he scored, I was in shock. Actually, I didn't jump up and cheer. I was like, huh.
Thick of communism. Were you afraid for your personal safety there?
Oh, I could tell you stories.
Well, please do.
A few stories about, that was in, the height of the Soviet Union, and the military presence was very strong in Moscow. We went up to Leningrad then, and it wasn't as strong as more of a cosmopolitan city, but in Moscow it was very strong, and when our plane landed, troops came out. And didn't completely circle the plane, but they came armed, army personnel came out onto the tarmac and were around our plane as we deboarded into Moscow. And I could tell you, I don't think we have enough time. You're up in
next time.
3 minutes. Next time, I'll tell you a few stories about
that. Sounds very similar to in 2011 when I went to Swift Current and needed a police escort into the Centennial Iplex because I had threats against
my
life.
That's scary there, too.
That was scary, too.
Yeah, that's probably more scary because nobody was after us. It was just sort of a protocol, and then they were not trusting, not really trusting. And one individual from northern Alberta that was on our trip, I don't even know what happened to him. That's a real long story. He lost his passport and was crying at the airport and never saw him
again. Got him.
Wow. Before his day, but
I will never watch that highlight again the same.
Without looking for Don in the corner.
Not thinking Don was at the other end of the arena. I didn't realize
that's
that.
Crazy,
we've known each other a long time. I did not realize that you were there for all four games. That's
amazing. In the 3 minutes we have left, Riders, Argos, Chamberlain's return. What's your take on Monday's game?
That game that Toronto played against Hamilton, they were actually missing training camp fundamentals in their game. It was so bad, and so I think Saskatchewan will really rise up and definitely win this ball game.
I think they just have to get the left hand and the right hand working at the same time. We've seen a decent performance out of the defense. We've seen a decent performance out of the offense. If they can get them both going at the same time, quite honestly, they shouldn't have a ton of trouble with this game.
That was very quick and succinct. At some point, I will make my predictions. Tomorrow night on In the Huddle, I'll be making... I'm going to pick the Riders to win. I think they're going to win.
Oh, you're 2 weeks now.
2 days a week now. For the first time ever, Tuesdays and Thursdays, In the Huddle, province-wide on Access and Shaw. But I should mention Donald S. Hewitt before I let you go. I mentioned meeting up with J.C. Garden at the Four Seasons Ball the other night. He did an outstanding job of emceeing it. Sinbad was great entertainment, despite being heckled by the crowd. Story for another time. Not sure if you heard about that.
No.
But I talked with J.C., and J.C. said that you guys at CTV Regina had met and said, listen, we're going to be a part of this show. We're going to support this show. And I hope in some way to reciprocate it, but it's worked out great to have all you CTV Regina guys on here. I don't know why he felt that it was a benefit to you guys. It's been a huge benefit to us, but I appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's
Rummel,
been awesome.
Daryl Rummel, Claire Hanna, myself. And I heard great reviews about Claire Hanna when she's
so
on
good.
Your show. She's a real fireball and a bright light and doing a great job covering
You know what
photos.
I hear the most about people in town is what they say about her is they love her enthusiasm.
Right, and that's not fake. I was talking to her this morning. We were going over some things. She's asking me a few questions, and her enthusiasm is real. I don't know if I've ever run into anybody that's more enthusiastic about what she's doing, covering the Rough Riders. She loves it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not only that, she loves just covering the sports. I know I did some work with the Pro-Am soccer team. Claire was one of the first people out there to do a story on them. And she had gone on holidays, but she was back and she was hounding me. When are they playing again?
Yeah.
When can I come out? She doesn't need to be prompted. She really wants to do not just the Riders and be the kind of the face on the sidelines, but she still really has a massive interest in the amateur sports. I think that probably comes, I don't want to speak for her, but from her background, having been a high performance amateur athlete, she knows what it means to each of those athletes that she's covering. And I think it means something to her too. And yeah, you're right. That enthusiasm does bleed through everywhere she goes.
Yep. Well, we've got an open invitation for you, Don. J.C. Garden is going to come on, says he'd like to come on.
He could talk fantasy.
Lee Jones paternity. Go ahead.
He's on return. J.C. on the NFL. Get him on the NFL.
Fantasy NFL?
Oh, I can't wait for
NFL
season.
He's strong in the NFL.
We're going to be all over the NFL season.
It's just too bad he's a Colts fan.
Yeah. We got, by the way,
that's right.
Later on this week, Troy Westwood coming in, the Bombers, great for TSN 1290 Winnipeg. Nate Davis. We could call this Hall of Famers week if we wanted to. Nate Davis will be on. We had Jim Hobson and Roger Brandvold yesterday. Of course, Wes Cates has been through here. Gene Mikowski, Chris Getzlaff. It's been awesome. I just appreciate what everybody has done to help make this show a success. Duke, you, of course, that goes without saying. You were excited about this before we even launched it.
I'm just happy to be here.
We'll go off the air by saying this. When Abu Meshrick went off on that pro-pride rant on Monday and all the other things that he went
Kudos
off
to
on,
him, by the way.
When the lights went down and the cameras went off, he sat in that chair right there and just went, I love being here. And I'm like, that is the best
is.
Endorsement that you could have.
It's true.
The guys are having fun. And gals. And we'll see you tomorrow here on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.